Welcome to this recorded service of Matins from the Book of Common Prayer. My name is Reverend Cliff Pooley, and I'm speaking to you from the Churn Valley Benefice. The date is August the 9th, 2020, and this is the ninth Sunday after Trinity. On the 6th of August, we celebrated the Feast of the Transfiguration of our Lord. We begin our service. When the wicked man turneth away from his wickedness that he hath committed, and doeth that which is lawful and right, he shall save his soul alive. Rend your heart and not your garments, and turn unto the Lord your God, for he is gracious and merciful, slow to anger and of great kindness, and repenteth him of the evil. If we say that we have no sin, we deceive ourselves, and the truth is not in us. But if we confess our sins, he is faithful and just to forgive us our sins and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. Dearly beloved, the scripture moveth us in sundry places to acknowledge and confess our manifold sins and wickedness, and that we should not dissemble nor cloak them before the face of Almighty God, our Heavenly Father, but confess them with an humble, lowly, penitent and obedient heart, to the end that we may obtain forgiveness of the same by his infinite goodness and mercy. And although we ought at all times humbly to acknowledge our sins before God, yet ought we most chiefly so to do, when we assemble and meet together, to render thanks for the great benefits that we have received at his hands, to set forth his most worthy praise, to hear his most holy word, and to ask those things which are requisite and necessary, as well for the body as the soul. Wherefore I pray and beseech you, as many as are here present, to accompany me with a pure heart and humble voice unto the throne of the heavenly grace, saying with me, Almighty and most merciful Father, we have erred and strayed from thy ways like lost sheep. We have followed too much the devices and desires of our own hearts. We have offended against thy holy laws. We have left undone those things which we ought to have done, and we've done those things which we ought not to have done, and there is no health in us. But thou, O Lord, have mercy upon us, miserable offenders. Spare thou them, O God, which confess their faults. Restore thou them that are penitent, according to thy promises declared unto mankind, in Christ Jesus our Lord. And grant, O most merciful Father, for his sake, that we may hereafter live a godly, righteous, and sober life, to the glory of thy holy name. Amen. Almighty God, the Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who desireth not the death of a sinner, but rather that he may turn from his wickedness and live, and hath given power and commandment to his ministers, to declare and pronounce to his people being penitent the absolution and remission of their sins, he pardoneth and absolveth all them that truly repent and unfeignedly believe his holy gospel. Wherefore let us beseech him to grant us true repentance and his Holy Spirit, that those things may please him which we do at this present, and that the rest of our life hereafter may be pure and holy, so that at the last we may come to his eternal joy, through Jesus Christ our Lord. Amen. Our Father, which art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, in earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive them that trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, the power, and the glory, for ever and ever. Amen. O Lord, open thou our lips, and our mouth shall show forth thy praise. O God, make speed to save us. O Lord, make haste to help us. Glory be to the Father, and to the Son, and to the Holy Ghost, as it was in the beginning, is now, and ever shall be, world without end. Amen. Praise ye the Lord. The Lord's name be praised. We say now the Venite. O come, let us sing unto the Lord. Let us heartily rejoice in the strength of our salvation. Let us come before his presence with thanksgiving, and show ourselves glad in him with psalms. For the Lord is a great God, and a great King above all gods. In his hand are all the corners of the earth, and the strength of the hills is his also. The sea is his, and he made it, and his hands prepared the dry land. O come, let us worship and fall down, and kneel before the Lord our Maker. For he is the Lord our God, and we are the people of his pasture, and the sheep of his hand. Glory be to the Father, and to the Son, and to the Holy Ghost, as it was in the beginning, is now, and ever shall be, world without end. Amen. Our first reading in this service is taken from the first letter to the Corinthians, chapter 10, beginning at the first verse. I do not want you to be unaware, brothers and sisters, that our ancestors were all under the cloud, and all passed through the sea, and all were baptized into Moses in the cloud and in the sea, and all ate the same spiritual food, and all drank the same spiritual drink, for they drank from the spiritual rock that followed them, and the rock was Christ. Nevertheless, God was not pleased with most of them, and they were struck down in the wilderness. Now these things occurred as examples for us, so that we might not desire evil as they did. Do not become idolaters, as some of them did. As it is written, the people sat down to eat and drink, and they rose up to play. We must not indulge in sexual immorality, as some of them did, and 23,000 fell in a single day. We must not put Christ to the test, as some of them did, and were destroyed by serpents. And do not complain, as some of them did, and were destroyed by the destroyer. These things happened to them to serve as an example, and they were written down to instruct us on whom the ends of the ages have come. So if you think you are standing, watch out that you do not fall. No testing has overtaken you that is not common to everyone. God is faithful, and he will not let you be tested beyond your strength. But with the testing, he will also provide the way out so that you may be able to endure it. The Jubilate. O be joyful in the Lord, all ye lands. Serve the Lord with gladness, and come before his presence with a song. Be ye sure that the Lord, he is God. It is he that hath made us, and not we ourselves. We are his people, and the sheep of his pasture. O go your way into his gates with thanksgiving, and into his courts with praise. Be thankful unto him, and speak good of his name. For the Lord is gracious, his mercy is everlasting, and his truth endureth from generation to generation. Glory be to the Father, and to the Son, and to the Holy Ghost, as it was in the beginning, is now, and ever shall be, world without end. Amen. We say together the Apostles' Creed. I believe in God, the Father Almighty, maker of heaven and earth, and in Jesus Christ, his only Son, our Lord, who was conceived by the Holy Ghost, born of the Virgin Mary, suffered under Pontius Pilate, was crucified, dead, and buried. He descended into hell. The third day he rose again from the dead. He ascended into heaven, and sitteth on the right hand of God the Father Almighty. From thence he shall come to judge the quick and the dead. I believe in the Holy Ghost, the Holy Catholic Church, the communion of saints, the forgiveness of sins, the resurrection of the body, and the life everlasting. Amen. The Lord be with you, and with thy spirit. Let us pray. Lord, have mercy upon us. Christ, have mercy upon us. Lord, have mercy upon us. O Lord, show thy mercy upon us, and grant us thy salvation. O Lord, save the Queen, and mercifully hear us when we call upon thee. Endue thy ministers with righteousness, and make thy chosen people joyful. O Lord, save thy people, and bless thine inheritance. Give peace in our time, O Lord, because there is none other that fighteth for us, but only thou, O God. O God, may clean our hearts within us, and take not thy Holy Spirit from us. Our second reading is from the Gospel of St. Luke, chapter 16, beginning at the first verse. The Parable of the Dishonest Manager. Then Jesus said to the disciples, "There was a rich man who had a manager, and charges were brought to him that this man was squandering his property. So he summoned him and said to him, 'What is this that I hear about you? Give me an accounting of your management, because you cannot be my manager any longer.' Then the manager said to himself, 'What will I do now that my master is taking the position away from me? I'm not strong enough to dig, and I'm ashamed to beg. I've decided what to do so that when I'm dismissed as manager, people may welcome me into their homes.' So, summoning his master's debtors one by one, he asked the first, 'How much do you owe my master?' He answered, 100 jugs of olive oil. He said to him, 'Take your bill, sit down quickly, and make it 50. Then he asked another, 'And how much do you owe?' He replied, 100 containers of wheat. He said to him, 'Take your bill, make it 80. And his master commended the dishonest manager because he'd acted shrewdly, for the children of this age are more shrewd in dealing with their own generation than are the children of light. And I tell you, make friends for yourselves by means of dishonest wealth, so that when it's gone, they may welcome you into the eternal homes.'" Here endeth the Gospel reading. We pray the Collect for the ninth Sunday after Trinity. Grant to us, Lord, we beseech thee, the Spirit to think and do always such things as be rightful, that we who cannot do anything that is good without thee may by thee be enabled to live according to thy will, through Jesus Christ our Lord. Amen. The Collect for Peace. O God, who art the author of peace and lover of concord, in knowledge of whom standeth our eternal life, whose service is perfect freedom, defend us, thy humble servants, in all assaults of our enemies, that we, surely trusting in thy defence, may not fear the power of any adversaries, through the might of Jesus Christ our Lord. Amen. And the Collect for Grace. O Lord, our Heavenly Father, almighty and everlasting God, who has safely brought us to the beginning of this day, defend us in the same with thy mighty power, and grant that this day we fall into no sin, neither run into any kind of danger, but that all our doings may be ordered by thy governance, to do always that is righteous in thy sight, through Jesus Christ our Lord. Amen. A prayer for the Queen's Majesty. O Lord, our Heavenly Father, high and mighty, King of kings, Lord of lords, the only ruler of princes, who dost from thy throne behold all the dwellers upon earth, most heartily we beseech thee with thy favour to behold our most gracious sovereign lady, Queen Elizabeth, and so replenish her with the grace of thy Holy Spirit, that she may always incline to thy will and walk in thy way. Endue her plenteously with heavenly gifts, grant her in health and wealth long to live, strengthen her that she may vanquish and overcome all her enemies, and finally, after this life, she may attain everlasting joy and felicity through Jesus Christ our Lord. Amen. We have some prayers in respect of the Feast of the Transfiguration, which took place on the 6th of August. Almighty God, it is good that we're gathered here to worship you in love and fellowship. And so we make our prayer to you, trusting in your power to transfigure and to heal. Help us to set our faces steadfastly to where you would have us go. Lord, in your mercy, hear our prayer. Faithful God, we ask that you look with favour upon your church as it proclaims your beloved Son to the world, whilst always listening to the promptings of the Holy Spirit. May our congregations be clothed in dazzling splendour, changed and renewed in holiness, and always reflecting your glory in this world. Lord, in your mercy, hear our prayer. Father God, we pray for your troubled world. May all that encourages people in goodness, honesty, and compassion be blessed and grow. May all that encourages self-seeking and cruelty, prejudice and deceit, wither and be exposed as the unsatisfying rubbish that it is. May we learn from one another's cultures and respect one another's differences to your glory. Lord, in your mercy, hear our prayer. Holy God, we pray for all people who feel excluded or exploited or ignored. We pray that as God's people, we may work to build our community so that it is open and as generous as God's love shown to us in Christ Jesus. Lord, in your mercy, hear our prayer. Holy God, we pray that God will bring healing in mind, body, and spirit to all who are troubled. We pray that in lives darkened by any kind of pain, or distress, or grief, the light of Christ may bring comfort, hope, and a sense of your all-encompassing love. Lord, in your mercy, hear our prayer. Merciful God, we ask that you would look in mercy on the departed, that they may see your salvation and find their peace and final rest in you. Lord, in your mercy, hear our prayer. And the prayer of St. Chrysostom. Almighty God, who has given us grace at this time with one accord to make our common supplications unto thee, and has promised that when two or three are gathered together in thy name, thou wilt grant their requests, fulfil now, O Lord, the desires and petitions of thy servants as may be most expedient for them, granting us in this world a knowledge of thy truth, and in the world to come, life everlasting. Amen. And now a reflection on that reading from St. Luke's Gospel, the dishonest steward. It's a parable that's confused many people in the past who thought that it praised dishonest behaviour. But it would be a mistake, I think, to believe that Jesus was suggesting that we use any advantages of position or wealth to feather our own nests, as the manager in the story did. On the contrary, in the other parables on wealth, Jesus sees our concentration on material wealth as fundamentally opposed to the way in which our Heavenly Father calls us to live. We've only to think of some of those parables. That one about the story of the widow's mite, for example, which illustrates the values of generosity of spirit that God commends. Or that tale of the prodigal son, which demonstrates for us just how destructive greed can be. No, I believe that the manager who is commended in this story is actually an archetype of the kind of person whom Jesus criticized among the dominating classes of the day, and the very people, in fact, who were admired and even served as models for ordinary folk in their ignorance. After all, some scripture could have been interpreted wrongly as commending wealth for its own sake. Certainly, sufficient wealth is required by all to enable us to lead a healthy, secure, and fulfilling existence. But that message from the Old Testament had become distorted sometimes. There were two misused quotations intended to persuade people to behave ethically in financial affairs that we can look at. There's one in Proverbs chapter 10. A slack hand causes poverty, but the hand of the diligent makes rich. And there's another in chapter 13, verse 21. Misfortune pursues sinners, but prosperity rewards the righteous. Well, look how different they are from the words of Jesus. Those words in Luke chapter 12, verse 15, for example. Be on your guard against all kinds of greed, for one's life does not consist in the abundance of possessions. You see, at all times, Jesus' emphasis was God's loving concern for the poor. Yet the temple priests, the scribes, the Pharisees of Jesus' day saw wealth as a sign of God's favour. Poverty and misfortune were the well-deserved fate of people who, rather than being viewed or pitied as suffering victims of an unjust system, were disdained as sinners who brought misfortune upon themselves and their families. Well, all parties in the parable that we've heard would have been powerful members of the domination system that impoverished the masses in those days. There was no concept then of intrinsic human worth or dignity. These came only with personal wealth or power. And since Jesus was so critical of this unjust system, we can be sure that he wasn't using the characters in this parable as an example of godly behaviour. Given the kind of society that Jesus operated in, what a scandal it was then that he and his disciples rejected possessions. For Jesus was seen by many as a man who demonstrated God's will. You see, Jesus' teaching was more than scandalous, it was politically revolutionary. What made the whole of that society function was debt, the indebtedness of the many to the few. Actually, that doesn't sound too different from modern-day society, does it? However, we are far more sophisticated than people were then. The ability to get into debt today is actually applauded as creditworthiness now. And who wouldn't wish to be considered creditworthy? And the powers that encourage those views do very nicely out of this system. It's only last week I read that the CEO of Amazon's personal fortune rose by $11 billion in one day thanks to the extra online spending resulting from the current pandemic. So suffering is certainly good news for some. But materialism isn't the only issue that blights the lives of many today. The celebrity culture is another aspect of modern life encouraged by social media that causes so much harm to people trying to live down to the standards of their style icons. The failure of so many to examine critically the lifestyle choices that they're making because the conventions of culture promote them is tantamount to mass hypnosis, or as someone, the writer Sam Keen, in his book The Passionate Life, described it, consensual paranoia. It's caused because we fear what our culture fears, and it is literally soul-destroying. Now, money per se is not bad. The early church talked a great deal about money, and Paul's letters are full of references to a proper use of possessions and money. The church has talked a lot about money ever since, and despite errors along the way, its message has been generally consistent with what I think Jesus was telling us in this parable in Luke. Money is a necessary commodity in this world, but it has the potential for evil, even while it can also be a powerful tool for helping to achieve God's purposes. People seem to be able to use money badly with great ingenuity. But the challenge for Christians is to use our ingenuity so that we use it well. The children of light should use wealth shrewdly, not to gain power or influence, admiration or favours from other people, not to bribe our way into the households of other corrupt people like the dishonest manager, but to do our Heavenly Father's work. And to do that work as a response to the generosity that he has shown in inviting us into eternal dwellings after we've left this world. Isn't that what Jesus was really saying here? And understood like that, is this story really so confusing? Let's pray. Almighty God, you've set before us a great hope that your kingdom will be established on earth. So rule our lives by your Spirit, that all our thoughts, desires, and acts may be obedient to your will, so that your power and glory may be made known to all people. Thank you very much for joining me this morning. I pray that you and your loved ones will have a safe and happy week ahead. Before we go, let us have a final prayer. Lord God, whose we are and whom we serve, help us to glorify you in all the thoughts of our hearts, in all the words of our lips, and in all the works of our hands, as becomes those who are your servants, through Jesus Christ our Lord. And to you, our Heavenly Father, to you, our Saviour Jesus Christ, to you, the Lord, the Spirit, let all the world give thanks, and to your name be glory forevermore. Amen.